going all the way back to the liberating teachings, really, of any direct perception of the divine. The early forms of Christianity, you know, before my friend Patricia Ewing says that, you know, St. Paul is the early Karl Rove, you know, kind of kidnapping the liberating teachings into servitude, bamboozling it into servitude to the state, right? And we want to go back to that flipper, because remember, the word heretic was a term of praise in early Christianity, because it means free thinker. You go, boy, that Rob sure is a great heretic, you know, as a good thing, as a good thing. So we go, you know, trick all the way back, all the way back. So the cooperators that are standing by, right, it's what's called a grand mutable square right now, so anything could happen. Anything could happen. I mean, really, so any story narrative wants to be very flexible for late-breaking anything. I'm going, whoa, and so fluidity. So Coyote, you know, unlike wolves, Coyote loves uneven footing. You know, I live with Stella Coyote, you know, for a long time, continuing. And love seesaws, you know, coyotes really like that. So, you know, uneven footing, practicing balancing when you're waiting in line, you know, uneven footing. They've also found that, you know, spinning around, uneven footing, that if you come into a room and forget what you came in to get, if you turn around and enter the room backwards, it helps. Just so many things to play with. So many things to play with. Yeah, yeah. Just try stuff. Right. Well. Also, you know, there's a lot of ways to play with coming into the room and forgetting. One was a recent neurological thing says we actually do forget. When we cross a threshold, we forget what's in back of us. So anytime we enter a new room, we're like, you know, new stage of life. And we go, I don't know. But it's also part of, you know, cutting a deal in our own psyches and in the world. So Saturn is focused, Neptune space out. Okay, they wanna be brought into accord. So when we do, you know, come into a room, forget what we came to get, or forget the name Charon or whatever, you know, it would say not premature dementia, it's just underfed Neptune. The part of us that needed non-guilty space out, you know, was not fed, and so it took space out in the midst of focused activity. So we go backstage, and, you know, go, you know, nice headdress, cuckoo, clan guy, or whatever. We go backstage and we cut a deal. Again, it's democratic animism, even with ourselves. And going, oh, Neptunian, I will give you vast space out, you know, because Neptune doesn't need much time. You know, it's beyond time. It's what in Chinese fairy tales is called irrational time, where through music or reverie or being at the ocean, or you go through the magic tree stump and enter the magic world where, you know, hours, days go by and you come back 5 minutes, right? So space out and reverie give us time. It's part of the nature of now. When people say, do we have enough time to save the world, to do the thing? And the gods come back and go, what kind of time are you talking? You know, if you're talking about realistic time, we don't have enough time to answer our emails and save the world, you know? But if we're talking about dream time, you know, vastness time, big mama time, that gives us more time. You know, it's like this, there's a really great fantasy book called The Initiate Brother by Sean Russell, and it's about how to maintain tranquility of purpose when in the realm of evil, roiling, collapsing empire. So it's relevant, you know. And, you know, but the effective players in that book called The Bow to His Brotherhood, they're really good at slowing time down so they can see each grain of sand coming through the hourglass. And so that everything, so they have plenty of time to move out of the way, plenty of time to direct attention, plenty of time. It's a good model. In homage to Jupiter Virgo, small things have a big effect. The one kind of moment anecdote I also love from that I carry with me. There's a great man, great leader, all the complexities of leadership, lives are at stake, death may happen, comes to a point where he doesn't know what to do. Everything's going wrong. Retreats to his garden, and everything seems off. Everything's off. Even the creek in his garden sounds off. So he reaches into the creek and he picks up one small stone and he carefully replaces it in the creek, and the creek has its melodious voice restored, and his mind clears and he sees who to trust, who not to trust, and how to save the world. So I love that. It's a Virgo thing, you know, it's like move one small stone. Not any stone, right? It's the stone that wants to be moved. Who wants to be? You. So that's part of it. But so uneven footing, disruption. Disruption is liberating. Right, disruption is our ally. It's such a revelatory time, right? I mean, I used to spend 2 hours a night watching MSNBC. seems to be liberated from that now, because I rooted for those, you know, and we root for them, you know, to someday tear off their obedience collars, their narrative police collars, and run free. But meanwhile, we are liberated, again, creating so many other forms of storytelling, so many other forms of media. Because any mainstream or cable news has been revealed as incompetent and therefore irrelevant and completely conned. And, you know, the con person, con man or con woman, they are their own first con as well. So Disruption as Our Ally, you have an Oya song, Disruption as Our Ally.
Yes.
Again, Coyote hurls lightning at the closed circle loop, turning it into a liberating spiral. This is, you know, we're calling in that part of each one of us that can hurl lightning.
That's right, and all of us get to sing this one.
Okay.
So repeat after me. Oya, mi loya.
Oya, mi loya.
Oya, mi loya.
Oya, mi loya.
Okay, now this one's trickier. Hola, mi loya. Oya, we, we.
Oya, mi loya.
Oya, oya, we, we.
Oya, mi, oya, oya.
That's it. And it's those two and then the second two. So let's do it. Ready? Here we go.
Authenticity and dedication is to journey to the underworld in order to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven and earth. That's how it starts off, and that's, again, that's myths, fairy tales, detective crime fiction. But a crucial part of the crime fiction is the detective. It's good to have a buddy. It's good to have a buddy to go to the underworld with whom to be jaunty and quip, you know, in the face of death and danger. Dark humor, really good, really good. So it's good to have a buddy, you know, Inanna had a buddy. Venus is in the underworld now. Nobody gets out of the underworld by themselves. But she is gathering mojo to reemerge at the end of summer. But part of the function of the detective, one of us, is they would meet up to no good people who wanted to rob them or kill them. And the up to no good person would go, I was going to rob and kill you, but I can feel the texture that you're actually authentic. So I want to join your team, but I have underworld skills you will need, right? So we want that. May each one of us be authentic, be aspiring to authentic. I mean, we want to aspire to be that our inner and outer match, where it's a journey, but we're aspiring. So that when we meet the up to no good, they go, you're kind of the real deal, okay. And we go, yes, we need your underworld skills, but over here. So inviting all of that. So Act 4, The Underworld, an example of something that is not yet wisely inviting a way out, that would be Venus, but bracing, it's bracing Gur and refreshing. Ally sent me this. It's in Mother Jones, and it's an article, GOP consultant unleashes epic Never Trump tweet stream. And it's a good Mars-Saturn, no Venus, you'll see, but it's a good Mars-Saturn. We get to add the Venus. And so he's been tweeting Rick Wilson, who is a former high-up Republican consultant, so on his Twitter storm, to all GOP staffers and RNC, you own this. You're covered in his stench. You're Cheeto Jesus. History will be so cruel to you. Your off-the-record sniping and grumbling is no substitute for moral courage. That's so DC. You won't escape the stain like a big no-regrets tat that will mark your careers forever. Go public. Man up. Show courage. Say what's in your heart. He's insane. He's poison. He's doomed. He's killing the party. And then another tweet. This weekend, people were lined up hundreds deep to give blood to the victims of Orlando. Your Cheeto Jesus was praising himself. And then he tweets, there is no better Trump. There is no presidential Trump. He is a vile stain on this republic. And then Trump has created new swing states, Texas, Utah, and Arizona. So now he is doing the mirror. Okay, he's doing the mirror pretty well. And it's lively out there, right? I mean, nobody, you know, it's all waking up. And unusual allies going, Rick, you old GOP consultant, here, dance with me. A little bit, you know. But we can add a little Venus to the thing. So we would step in and to all that he's finger wagging going, here's your way out. You know, lots of intrigue at the convention. You never know. There we go. It's a mystery play. Here you go. Renaissance over here. We need your skills. We need your underworld skills, but not that, you know. So we want to be the Venus when there's hyper-yang too much Mars. Although that was a fun riff. But when we look out there at popular culture, we go, little wisdom, much craft. You know, the storytelling capacity in mainstream is pretty great, but the wisdom, not so much. So we want to wed wisdom to craft. Again, they've been falsely estranged, and to bring it back to have storytelling art, you know, to smuggle wisdom into mainstream as a vernacular dynamic, you know, to restore magic to the land, speech, all of that. And I like, you know, I'm doing a lot of online courses right now. Monday night class is always available if you want to gather and practice these things. See me afterwards. I'll tell you how, trickster training. But in one of them, it's pretty global. It's pretty impressive. And some of the Canadians and people were like, too much, you're talking too much about American politics. And other people were like, no, it's very important. So I said, well, let's just throw the word politics into the bubbling cauldron and ladle out what it really wants to be, which is dedication to collective well-being. And everybody was like, yeah, okay, we're for that. Because that's, again, cleansed and liberated. You know, it's also, again, metaphors to play with that we do on our Monday night class. But each one of us, you can sort of imagine or feel, you have a quiver of arrows on your back. And each one of them is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target, right? So we're not, it's not boring blessing, right? It's blessing with spice, right? So in your mind's eye, you know, anything, you can just pull it back and go, fatum, you know, arrow tipped with compassion or some really high-grade honey cannabis, you know, with tyranny as its target going, fatum. You know, remember the sacred teachings of Star Trek when the spirit that possessed Jack the Ripper that feeds on fear took over the Starship Enterprise? Yeah, yeah. You know, what to do? Some people, okay. Yeah, and what does Captain Kirk do? He gets everybody stoned, right? Yeah. So everybody's like, you know, and so the spirit is like, you're all gonna die, yeah. And they go, this guy sure is gloomy. And that's great. That's really great. So our affinity guides us to our assignment, and this is part of the deal. You know, on a number of my classes, now that we're in some sort of second or third act of whatever we're doing, you know, the people who support Hillary are kind of surfacing timidly going, because it's been so Bernie, right? And they're like, excuse me, I really like Hillary. And we go, we need you too, right? Then thank you for taking on the assignment of speaking past her negative witchcraft to her positive witchcraft, and you've taken it on. Thank you very much. You know, and it was given at the KPFA summer fair. There was a cute little gathering, and one woman said, "I just think Trump is so desperate. He just so wants to be healed." And they go, "Thank you very much for keeping the Santeria altar in your house for healing Trump. That's very good. Thank you very much. That's good." You know, and one woman was like, "I really like Hillary's, you know, whatever." And I go, "Thank you very much for, you know, who brought what to this party?" And we go, "Yeah, you know, I think this issue of where ambition has been divorced from soul, right? And what if we were willing to throw into the cauldron our vitriolic desire to punish and ladle out our desire to heal, right? No matter what, we sentence you to 100 years of aromatherapy. We sentence you to 15 and a half years of permaculture. We sentence you to working for Habitat and Humanity. We sentence you to, 18 years of dog rescue. And sentencing by I Ching. And go wander and marry the dangerous woman. More whimsy. And so, in that way, so we would wish for tyrants also, we are friends of your soul and therefore enemies of your personality, project, whatever, because it's not good for anybody. And again, so for the Hillary people, we go, right, well then see her as freed. You could divorce Bill, see her as freed, going, I don't know what I was thinking. I really want to do the ideal thing. We don't, that's for the, but for the people who go, I like Hillary, we go, excellent. And it's also when people really love a movie that I couldn't stand, they go, I love the movie you saw. Right. Some people go, oh, Hillary, she's so competent. I love you. I can love your Hillary. Animate her for us. And it's your job. So by affinity guided to assignment, going, all right, take it on. Invite what is best in them. Who brought what to this party? There's no doubt that Hillary has an incredible skill set. We know it's been snookered or bamboozled by reality or hyper-yang death frenzy or whatever. But again, just see everything. It's like the phenomenon friends are kind of working with, Silicon Valley people in their 20s have made a gazillion dollars, but they lost their soul. And they now want to do something good in the world. And again, it's like a recruiting in the underworld. Remember that Milarepa, one of the great saints of Tibetan Buddhism, was a murderer and a thug, right? So becomes a great saint. Nobody beyond redemption. Nobody beyond redemption. So whatever, affinity or non-affinity is like, well, there's where you earn to invite in blessing in some form, each person. There's more than one of us because there's so many unique skills and things to play with. And breaking the spell of the con, of the distraction. So we are agents of the magician directing attention, the art of directing collective attention, to over here, to the real thing. So, in addressing Act 4, I love working with my friend Ellen LeConte, who wrote a brilliant book, Life Rules, one of the best books right now. Again, just on how bacteria have solved all these things. It's full of useful things. Did you know? Did you know that slime mold helped design the Tokyo subway system, right? Did we know this? Anyway, it's a great did you know. Are we smart enough to borrow intelligence to be inspired by the design intelligence of slime mold? So Ellen guides us, and many biologists do. Slime mold happens, it's individual cells going, we're just individuals, there we are. And when a crisis happens, then they become a community, right? Because they're smarter. And they become this slime mold community made up of many individuals, so we could all be slime mold here. And they're incredibly good at kind of laying tracks and efficient pathways. So people designing the complexity of the Tokyo subway system were looking at the slime mold and going, they got an idea. Because the scientists were creating a maze, and then they put something really tasty to slime molds, I can't remember, toast. And the slime molds would go, must find the toast, oh, find it. So they made a maze, and they put something tasty toast, on all the stops on the subway, Tokyo subway line, and the slime mold were, must find toast. And what slime mold does is they create a pathway, many pathways, and then they shut down the inefficient pathways and leave this brilliant grid. And that's what the Tokyo subway designers use. Did you know David Bloom's vision? Did you know that in the Gulf of Mexico, the ongoing ecocide, for 5-10 million, people could buy, the oil rigs that are leaking already and make them as seaweed harvesting. Right, seaweed harvesting would pull the toxins out of the water. You use the seaweed harvesting to turn it into alcohol, which can fuel a third of the nation. And you employ the people who are out of work in the Gulf. And we go, that's great vision. Ellen says we got to acknowledge also we are in climate instability, which is a useful, keep that phrase, more than global warming. Because anything that's repeated, there's a prison for it already, right? So to become unexpected language liberates everybody, so that's why we want to be flexible and fluid in that. So climate instability, and also Ellen, did you know the bacteria have already solved all the crises that we humans are facing? Long chapter on that. But just a little more dark teachings about, you know, what we envision personally and collectively. Neptune is our divine capacity to imagine. And it goes all the way back to the Kabbalah, in which they, you know, the Kabbalists said, you know, if the divine is everything, how does the divine create using nothing outside the divine? And then they said, by analogy, how do we create using nothing outside ourselves? And they said, in our imagination. Huh. So when it said we're made in the image of the divine, it doesn't mean old white guys with beards. It means we are dreamed up by the divine, and our capacity to dream is a divine part of participating in dreaming the world into being. So whatever we envision personally and collectively is what we're conjuring. And Neptune is the images, how a culture tells itself its own story through the images and music that move through mass mind. So we want to pay homage to that, but a friend just sent me this, a State Department ally, I have my sources, just sent me this article by Max Blumenthal, whom I've also posted on the radio. And his article says, before Omar Mateen committed mass murder in Orlando, the FBI tried to lure him into a terror plot. Right? And Sheriff Ken Mascar of the Florida's St. Lucie County told the Vero Beach Press Journal that after Mateen threatened a courthouse deputy in 2013 by claiming that he could order Al-Qaeda to kill his family, the FBI dispatched an informant to lure Mateen into some kind of terrorism, and Mateen did not bite on that one. But the question remains, did the FBI play a role in pushing Mateen towards an act of lethal violence? The article goes on, since 9/11, FBI has relied heavily on informants to entice scores of mentally troubled Muslim men, you know, and to send them to prison for as long as 25 years. They lured James Medina to bomb a South Florida synagogue. They got him to do it, and they got him to set off the bomb, right? And to pledge allegiance to ISIS that he had never heard of before, right? So it's like, what are we doing? With which he had no prior affiliation. Trevor Ahrens, a journalist author of Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terror, must find him, host on radio, says, is it possible the FBI is creating the very enemy we fear? We go, well, yes, metaphysically, you know, enemies need each other. We know that the Mossad created Hamas. They pulled the blind sheikh out of prison and financed Hamas as an antidote to Yasser Arafat. But we create these things. So all polarization is complicit. All enemies are complicit. And we do want to suck the chi right out of that. And again, what if our desire, rather than to harm or fool or imprison, was to heal? You know, again, we redesign police. We redesign fire responders. We redesign the FBI going, no. You need a better story. You know, oh, policeman, your job is to be equipped with turmeric and ginger tea as an anti-inflammatory, and go, sir, I notice you're a little reactive. Here, have some tea. You know, we are cool-out artists walking the edge, you know. And the FBI going, we notice you're troubled. Here, let us guide you to what is it you need. You need a purpose in life. What a good thing. Let's give you a good purpose. Wait, we want to, the whole thing, you know, and also, see, the thing that's complex and intriguing is Mateen already worked for a security contractor, right? G4S. He came from a troubled home, domestic violence, it's all connected. He was then on steroids, right? This is all part of the brew, the toxic brew. It's like almost all school shooters, their parents were legally sanctioned killers. They were heavily into video games and Prozac. And I asked Carl Prebrum when he was alive, a great brain expert, I go, I just think that there's something about the Prozac chemicals and the video games that dissolve the membrane of reality. Goes, that's exactly what happens, yeah. And then the legally sanctioned killers, a lot of the school shooters, their parents were Exxon, or one guy, his father worked in Fort Detrick making nerve gas. So it's all, you know, what if we were more interested in healing and understanding? One of my favorite humans clients is a multiple Scorpio 12th house person, and she's a forensic psychiatrist. Her job is to go into horrific crime scenes to maintain kinship with the perp. Right? Meaning a wise culture would want to know, how did this happen, rather than just let's shut it away and pretend it's not related to everything. Right? So also Mateen, he wanted a career in law enforcement. He spent 7 months as a prison guard. Whoa. He was rejected by 2 police departments, but embraced by G4S, this global police thing. And we go, oh, we gotta throw all these things into the cauldron. Another State Department source wrote and said, I saw this documentary, interesting thing I posted on Facebook. It's a shocking look at the lengths the FBI goes to persuade, bribe, pressure gullible, mentally confused people into plotting terrorism. We go, we want to suck the chi right out of that, you know. And it's a big, this is a little trivial on the thing, but for small and large things, we go, boo, boo. Or the Wizard of Earthsea would go, avert, avert. You know, that's also in your magic backpack. And then I also like boo meringue. That's where you go, boo, it returns back to its sender with a lemon meringue pie in the face. There we go. No, boomerang, boomerang. So the documentary that I want to go find is called The Newburgh Sting. It's, again, about how the FBI sets up mentally ill Middle Eastern people to provoke them into terrorism, which they didn't have the thought of before. So we go, huh. But again, it's part of our trickster dynamic. A wonderful person on Facebook said, when life gives you demons, make demonade. So we're here to make demonade. We're here to make demonade. We're here to be dedicated to it. But how many people think of their fathers as disappointed having not lived the dream that was close to them? Okay, it's a pretty fulfilled crowd. I invite my dad in, my late dad, who was a New Deal congressman under FDR, and he'd be amazed at the common sense being spoken about, you know, $15 an hour minimum wage, about healthcare for all. That would be like, it's the 1948 Democratic platform under Harry Truman, in which the Dixiecrats walked out. But it was simple. So we say, you know, will we find the thing that heals us before we kill it? And we go, sure we will. let's say woof, you know, woof, woof. We will find the thing that heals us before we kill it. And that's why, see, I think melancholy, kind of tragic romantic melancholy, is a con, but we want to kind of liberate it into what it wants to be. We ask everything in our lives and in the world, what did this want to be before it got conned or trapped or disappointed or betrayed? You know, into depression. What did it want to be? And we go, well, melancholy wants to be yearning, aspirational yearning. It's the beauty of the Middle East. You know, it's all of that. So the mesmeric trance of yearning to kind of snap out of the circle, closed circle of melancholy, like, oh, into aspirational yearning, which is a call and response. You know, so, yeah, we're here to say we are willing to be artists of atmosphere, public dreamers, direct the flow. And that's where we get to stagecraft. We'll get to stagecraft in a moment. But this is where we are.
Can I tell a story while you look for your card?
Yes, please do.
One of the things that I do for the State Department as a cultural ambassador is I go to places in the Middle East and I work with these kids and bring music as medicine. That's one of the programs that I created, and bring drumming. And one of the boys, when I was in Palestine, pulled me to the side. He was about 17, and he said, "Sit Ami, you teach me to drum, not bomb. Now I want to drum and not bomb." And I did not know he was trained to be a Unabomber. Like, what? More drums! Send them drums! Because I came back and I went to the FSO and I was like, we need to buy a shitload of drums, you guys. Get it? Get the drums, send them over there so that they can make music and not blow things up.
We are dedicated to being the balm, B-A-L-M.
That's right.
B-A-L-M, we are the balm. So all still in the mystery play, not with any attachment to the form the energetic renaissance takes, because it's very shape-shifty. Again, anything could happen. We don't know. Certainty's a booby prize. Certainty's a con. Mystery's a liberating trick. We go, we wonder. We wonder which way to go. But again, skillfully navigating with whatever comes up, going, well, it's the opportunity here. How do we work with this? How do we cooperate with this? What did this want to be before it got bamboozled? So, plucky band of dreamers no longer attached to the shape-shifting form that Renaissance takes. To get us out, you know, it was years ago, many people have heard this, but the first person I heard say this little Hopi elder dynamic is Chokash. Later, many people claimed it as their own, many kind of white male motivational speakers, but people have said, well, just dunk them in the river. Okay, so Chokash said, "The elders have sent me to you today to tell you that now is like a great rushing river. And this great rushing river will be experienced in many ways. There are many who try to hold on to the shore. There is no shore. The The shore is crumbling. Now push off into the middle of the river. Keep your head above water. See who else is in the river. And celebrate. We're in the river together. And you have a water song.
Yes. Nibe. Kisake iko. Kimi kwe chunwe. Nive kisawe ni ko kimi kwe chunwe ke ni ko kishewe ni ko. And it means water, we love you, water, we thank you, water, we respect you. Home of Dakoyasa.
So we've moved into this season, this powerful season, Sun in Cancer, the Moon's realm, the incarnation of Big Mama, you know, dedicated to protecting life, and again by our affinity, by what we love, you know, the waters everywhere, the waters in the Arctic, you know, surrounded by the vulnerability, their vulnerability to the Rim Nations going on, and we go, oh, no. Again, the intelligence of everywhere. I love we're gathering everything from everywhere. When I was at FinTorn a million years ago, there was a Donald First who was head of the World Federalist, and he was a complete animist. He said you can talk to the spirit of the North Atlantic, you can talk to these things, and very important. And I love that. We want to, by our kin, what body of water does each one of us, you know, love? Which one of us being its voice, its agent, where, you know, inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity to protect what we love. And again, the metaphoric shape-shifting, you know, when people go, how long will we fight and have wars? And I go, as long as we keep using that as a metaphor, wars and fighting, and I go, let's shift the metaphor. I mean, I'm not too curmudgeon-y about, you know, Bernice, like, we're going to fight for social justice. It's like, fine, okay. But again, to amplify our vocabulary, you know, and so we've heard many different analyses that the essence of terrorism is corruption, right? Corruption is the con, right? Racism is a con. It's a mean trick of people who have much in common to be at war. It's a distraction. It's a murderous distraction. So I love the writings of Terry Pratchett so much, his Young Girl Witch, and in his last book that he wrote before he died, you know, again, terrible, bad forces are breaching the world and coming to endanger everything, and it's actually the bad fairies. And the fairy queen has gone over to the good side, and she says to the witches, you really don't know what you're up against. And they're like, we're witches. You know, that's no problem. And she says, no, but they have the power of incredible glamour. And they go, we're witches. We don't really care about that. And the fairy queen says, let me just give you a little dose. And all of them, it's like Galadriel with the ring going, and I am the priestess of Isis, and most beloved by sacred Huzahuza, and whatever, and I am really ground, no, I'm a nothing, a pathetic worm, and they go, wow, that was really strong, you know. And so she teaches them a chant, we are dispelling the glamour of corruption, and news as obedient story police, and all of that, and we do, we see them casting off their collars and running free. But she teaches them this wonderful chant, you know, which a friend reminds me is just counting numbers in the We Free Men language, but it's Yon Ton Tethera. And Yon Ton Tethera just dispels the con, dispels the glamour of the seductive toxic mimic. And so I like imagining, you know, outside the conventions, people just chanting, Yon Ton Tethera, you know, may it all be revealed, Yon Ton Tethera. So maybe just a couple.
Yeah.
A couple of Yon Ton Tethera. Like,
Yon Ton Tethera, Yon Ton Tethera, Yon Ton Tethera, Yon Ton Tethera.
There's lots of things, just a little quirky thing right before I came here to New York Times endorsement, in a good way, of this wonderful woman whose name is Zephyr Teachout, right? And she's Bernie-backed. She wrote a book on corruption. Bernie says Zephyr literally wrote the book on political corruption. And many people, the nation says she's, Elizabeth Warren-like or whatever, and she's running. She's running June 28th in the Democratic primary in New York, and we go, we'll work with that. Sure, here's $50. So supporting wherever there's teammates, going, this rousing renaissance of sane reverence. And stagecraft, right? So there's three parts of stagecraft. One, a wonderful friend worked with the homeless in San Francisco, and she said, when you join the homeless community or fall into it, the community gives you your name, right? It's kind of indigenous. And she said, for instance, there was this crazy borderline woman who'd become and then vicious, and newcomers were really freaked out by this woman. And the old timer said, that's just yo-yo. That's just what she does. And I love that. That's just yo-yo. So I love also. The medicine guiding of attitudinal encouragement. And this was also when we were at Symbiosis, right? And there was a fantastic karaoke onstage presentation by really crafted people. And right as they were at the culmination of their event that was so well done, this crazy woman jumped on stage, began ripping off her clothes and dry humping everybody on stage. And I go, I don't think that's part of the act. And it's like, what will they do, right? But one of the women MCs, just kind of created the swirl, right? And hooked her arm through the crazy woman's arm and said, and you, dear, you come with me because you are fascinating. Led her right off stage. It was brilliant. So keep that in your magic pack. And you come this way because you're fascinating. We're just going off stage now. There we go. It's a wonderful thing to do. Directing, and it's also, when things come to be that are appropriately outrage reaction inducing, like the DEA raiding the CBDs in Santa Rosa, the incredible center that had been already trooped government officials through, going, we're all compliant, and they arrested the guy and charged him with, a $5 million bail for, distilling a medicine, and we go, okay, snookered into polarity, easy, that's right. But we want to see that as a thing that's a swoosh, and we go, right, to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before, one of our mantras, thank you, Michael Gruber. And so it's like, and we want to direct that outrage into joining the larger renaissance of sane reverence, going, of course, we're having a culture where we honor plants. Of course, the thing. So every kind of into a larger thing, into the supportive wolf pack, right? All a trick, magical willingness to cooperate with everything. So we are willing to dedicate to being disruptive liberators from the con and guides to the liberating story. Yes?
Yes,
excellent. Okay. And it reminds us of the shape-shiftingness of now. I love the beginning of Arabic fairy tales begin Kanya Makan. Kanya Makan, it means it was and it was not. Right? So, or Rev Reich says if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. It was and it was not. There's many multiple scenarios. It's all very shape-shifty. So every time, everything we think, feel, do, may it all be a sacrament. We come up with ingenious blessings. May humans be attracted to only that which is good for them. Would be good, right? Because you can't be addicted to a good thing. You can only be addicted to a poison. So we are here at our rising reverent renaissance, really inviting the best of humans. And so we remember envisioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative cahoots with it. So are we hereby willing to be public dreamers?
Yes, we are.
Excellent. And then I love. The little bit Arabic friends will cringe, but I love being able in Arabic to go majnun, mazbut, mabsut. Majnun means crazy for the divine, right? There's the melancholy liberated into yearning. Majnun. Mazbut means of course, and mabsut means content. So majnun, mazbut, mabsut is also good. So we also say we can do this, team. you know, we're co-dream the desirable world into being. We're not going to get smoked on our strong suit of language, compassion, symbolism, power, all of that. We are inaugurating guiding story. And a friend said, you know, reminded us that at the winter solstice, we always do the chant, the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? And she was like, well, what about, here it is, the longest day. The longest day, the wheel is turning, what will we liberate with the light?
Yes. Here we go. Everybody ready? The longest day, the wheel is turning, what will we liberate to the light?
Just shout out everything you want liberated into the light.
The longest day the wheel is turning, what will we liberate to the light? The wheel is turning, what will we liberate to the light? Yeah!
So we are electing Flora Fauna, right? Flora Fauna, 2016. We're inaugurating our guiding story, and we will have our most sacred and serious chant as our finale right now, which is, "Hail to the sun god, he is a fun god, rah, rah, rah."
Hail to the sun god.